I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
2023, y'all.
Yes, it is.
Happy New Year, Dustin.
Yep, Auld Lang Syne.
That's it.
Okay.
Man, the question is, did you have your black-eyed peas and cabbage?
I did not this year. Okay. I did not this year because, you know, I don't cook no more.
Yeah, we don't even cook
anymore. I don't
anymore.
Cook. You know, so we don't, right.
Let me stop.
Okay. The water has run dry, all right? So I did not, but you know what? We still going to channel all that energy and bring in all those blessings this year.
Indeed.
Happy New Year, Ebony. You know,
thank
New Year's
you.
Eve and New Year's Day. That's my favorite time of year. It's my favorite calendar year holiday.
I love that. I love
my
a fresh
favorite.
Start.
It's
I
so
love
hopeful.
A fresh start.
Strangers are nice to each other on New Year's Eve night.
Yeah.
You know, it's just everybody is on one accord and in the spirit of just being hopeful and happy.
Blessed.
It's
blessed
a very
to be
Dustin
here.
Holiday.
Blessed,
you know?
To be here. Blessed to see. You know, I'm at the age, Dustin, too, where New Year's, my faith is so evolved that even though we don't know what's coming, we know it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's going to be. I can't wait
either.
To see what 2023 is going to bring us.
Me either. I love you, girl.
I love
yeah,
you, baby.
So, you
let's
know.
Do it. I can't wait to see these deals come through.
Deals.
And whatever else God has for us.
Deals. And the S is a dollar sign, honey. Mm-hmm. Okay? The S got a line going through it. Deals. Okay?
Two of them.
How about that?
Double deals. We love it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, boo.
All right, Dustin. I am really excited about this show. It's all about the money.
My kind of show.
My kind of show. Cash
Our
me
kind
out.
Of show, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's about reparations. And I'm going to tell you what's exciting for me about this. As somebody who's done this work and studied, you know, Black American politics and all this shit, I actually never really thought a legitimate conversation around reparations would ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
But on a docket today, we are talking about how California, specifically Governor Gavin Newsom, has actually signed a reparations bill.
Wow.
It's actually really interesting. So he signed it back in 2020, but now there's been some really important updates. So we're going to go over that. Simultaneously, and this is what a movement looks like, just as he's doing that out in Cali, St. Louis's mayor, Tashara Jones, and I've broken bread with Tashara. She's a really excellent woman.
Is she black?
Tashara Jones
is
a beautiful black woman, a proud member of Delta Sigma Theta. Shout out Delta. Sometimes a few get away. And she's actually, Dustin, convened a committee to look at reparations for her city.
Wonderful.
So you see how it's just kind of starting to pop up? And then, of course, we want to revisit, again, when you listen to Holding Court, you really be on the shit early. Season one. Remember we talked about reparations?
We sure did.
Evanston, Illinois. And that was one of the first. It's being held as the first United States territory to actually pass. And I believe at this point they've made some distributions of black reparations in America. And I was able to meet that young lady that led the effort there when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to celebrate or commemorate, really, rather, the Tulsa Massacre last year in 2021. Fascinating stuff. And I think this is just really important, y'all, because when we start talking about black wealth, and that's been everybody talking about black wealth gap, everybody talking about black economic generational wealth building, we can't leave money on the table. And the more and more we hesitate as a society, as a culture, of really seriously talking about reparations, D, you need to think about it for what it is. It's leaving billions of dollars on the table.
Yeah.
So we're going to run it down. California, St. Louis, we're going to revisit what happened in Illinois as a model. And we said it then. We both said it. This can be a model
for what can be done elsewhere.
And look at what's happening elsewhere.
Yep.
God, it's really cool when this happens.
Yeah.
We're going to end it with a little mess, but also some important lessons. Jay-Z and Jay-Z. I'm really getting old.
That's okay.
Damn.
Me too.
Ray J.
Oh, God.
Ray J and Princess Love, they were unable to settle their situation in mediation, D. So they are actually headed to trial. So what I want to talk about, though, is less about them two specifically, because, but I do want to talk about the pros and cons of going to trial around divorce. Because there are some benefits. Like, I'm not saying every case can't be settled. But dear God, if you can't settle that shit in mediation, you need to. Because trial has some things you need to know about, which we'll talk about.
I'm sure. You're leaving it up to other people.
And the expense.
What the hell?
Litigating a divorce is not for the faint of heart.
It seems like it.
Yeah, but we're going to start again with the cash flow.
Yeah.
California, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill in 2020 to create a statewide panel to study and recommend ways to implement reparations for Black Californians. Now, I want to stop here because a lot of times in politics, that is coded language. When you're talking about, I need a panel to study. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, people be like, what you need to study it for? We just studied it already. It's been studied to death. But slow down. Sometimes for something like this, Dustin Ross, something that is so, frankly, controversial, although it shouldn't be, but it is, it does require a certain process, okay? And so the convention, the convening of these panels is a necessary first component. What are they doing here? They're assessing the scope. What does that look? What do the reparations look like? You need to assess a ballpark figure. You know, that's always been the critique of those that don't support reparations. A lot of them, Dustin, they don't support it because they like to fall on these whack-ass, straw man arguments of, well, how much? Where does it start? Where does it begin? I mean, slavery was a million years ago, all that bullshit. So Gavin Newsom saying here, no. We're going to spend some time and put some resources towards figuring out those answers. Mm-hmm. Those are not just going to remain existential unknowns. Right.
Yeah.
You know? So what does that look like? 9 months. 4 months, rather, 9 members of this task force. And that's interesting because when we get to St. Louis, their task force is also 9 members. Mm. See, you really see some duplication here that is actually very encouraging to me. Anyways, in Cali, 9 members of this task force have traveled between L.A., Dustin, so SoCal, going all the way up to San Fran to learn about the generational effects of racist policies and actions which have led to the discrepancy of wealth of Black people in California.
Wow, they're doing real research
to come up with concrete restitution. And we're going to come back to that term restitution in a minute to address the economic effects of both slavery and not just slavery, Dustin, anti-Black racism. So that's your redlining. That is your, you know, other economic policies in terms of education, for instance, that have kept Black folks from engaging in wealth building opportunities. Amazing.
Wow. I never thought, as much as we've heard this conversation about reparations swirled around for so many years, I literally never thought that in my lifetime I would see real progress being made towards reparations being given out. This is like mind-blowing for me.
Me either. Yeah. I want to go back when I was in law school. There was a young gentleman, a caller, that was pursuing me. You know, I had some gentlemen callers during my heyday.
Well, when you're pretty and powerful, you know. I mean.
You know. And this gentleman, in his pursuit of me, Dustin, didn't send me flowers. He sent me a book. And I want to encourage you. I'm going to look straight to camera. I want to encourage you right now, if you are in pursuit of a young lady or a gentleman or a non-binary individual, you know what makes a great gift? Is a copy of a great book, Bet on Black, The Good News About Being Black in America Today. And I'm saying that in all sincerity, because that was actually really a really different flex to me. You know, it's really easy to give a girl flowers or sunglasses, you know, just some stuff. For you to gift me with a book that challenged me, and this happened to be a book about reparations, cases for and against, and what it could look like, I just thought it was really sexy, actually. You know, because not how often are you gifted a book? You know, so I'm serious.
It makes a statement.
It makes a statement.
The right kind of statement.
It says that I want to smash, but I want to talk afterwards.
Not just leave. Yeah. Real talk.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's just a little.
I love
little,
that.
It's a little free game. It's a little free game.
Free game, baby. But guess what's not free?
This book,
Bet on Black,
right?
Which
but
is
you
available
can get
right
it
now
for $28.99.
Okay, how about
but,
that?
But the content in it is worth
priceless.
A million.
Priceless.
So, yeah. So to your point, though, I read the book. I was like, this is a great. You know, I read it in theory. I read it, Dustin, thinking, you know, one day maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and in the book, it talks about the fact that part of why this should be a valid conversation in Black America. Reparations are not un-American. America has paid reparations before. America paid reparations to the Japanese in terms of World War I, I believe, in the camps that the internment camps, I believe, the Japanese were held in. We know that Germany has paid billions of dollars of reparations, as they should, to Jewish descendants of the Holocaust. Reparations are as American as apple pie, actually. You know who else got reparations?
Who that?
The Confederacy. A lot of people don't know that. But once the emancipation, so-called emancipation of Black Americans, the on-paper one at least, mm-hmm. took place, Abe Douglas, child. I mixed up Abe Lincoln and Frederick Douglas, child. Well, they did about run
they
together
did,
at some
they
point.
They did, you
Thank
know.
God. Abe got in that ass. Frederick, rather, got in that ass and got in that ear.
Uh-huh.
Abe Lincoln.
He ain't been the same since. That's why he's sitting in that memorial right now, just like this.
Like in the chair like this.
Like he just told
Frederick,
him.
Frederick, fuck me up. God
Frederick
damn.
Coming.
Right. Freddie coming.
Yeah.
You're so stupid. Not Freddie coming. Abe Lincoln actually paid millions of dollars to white Southern slave owners who lost the war.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even win. They lost. And for losing, your parting gift were millions of dollars of reparations from our own country. So the point there is simple. Reparations, they shouldn't be far-fetched. America is in the business of paying reparations. Now, you can't tell it from this, the most recent statistics around it. Only 18% of white Americans support reparations. 18, damn.
You just gotta laugh.
You gotta laugh. But 77% of us say, run us our money. And that's fair. So, back to California. So, they are really assessing in a real concrete way, Dustin, what it looks like. Now, something else that lets me know California is serious about this. We talked about this on an earlier episode of Holding Court this year.
You know what I'm talking about? That land with the beach. Was it Manhattan Beach? What's the name of the beach?
Yes, it was adjacent to Manhattan Beach in California. Bruce's Beach.
Bruce's Beach, yeah.
Because, you know, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Bruce. It's Bruce's Beach.
Not Bruce Bruce.
You're
Comic View.
That's right. Comic View Bruce.
Shout out to Bruce Bruce. Shout out to, I have to say something about Comic View real quick. I was interviewing a gentleman on The Griot. I do know his first name was Jimmy.
Okay.
I got his last name. He was exonerated after serving 27 years in prison.
Wow.
Yes, isn't that crazy? I believe in West Virginia for a rape that he did not commit.
My God.
After 27 years, a really grueling federal appeal process, he finally was released. You know what he said? In addition to, of course, prayer and his family got him through 27 years? Comic View. Swear for Jesus. He said, Comic View. He said, D.L. Hughley. He said, shout out to my boy, Ricky Smiley.
Ricky Smiley, yeah. So the comedians.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Laughter is such a strong tool.
This man said for 27 years, he prayed, he studied in the law library, he did all the things, but on some level, Dustin, he laughed his way to freedom. I just want to.
My God.
I had to just drop that. When you said Bruce, I had to go ahead and tell the people.
Yeah, comedy is invaluable.
It really is. And thank you for being funny.
That's
why I hired you.
Oh, you're more than welcome, darling.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I really didn't know you were smart till you got here. I was like, well, shit, this is a double whammy. Shit, two for two. Shit, I'll take it. And you're cute. I hired you because you were cute and funny.
Thank you, my love. Look, you got to use what you got sometimes. I
got a lot of jobs for being
cute.
That's
okay, that's right.
Listen,
as long as
pretty
I got
powerful.
It, okay.
You got to get through the door, but it won't keep you there. Okay.
Okay.
So back to Bruce's Beach. Ooh, we be just doing too much.
Uh-huh.
Bruce's Beach was, we talked about this on the first season of Holding Court,
yes,
actually,
we did.
Y'all. It was a beautiful oceanfront beachside resort property adjacent to Manhattan Beach, which happens to be my favorite beach in LA, because it'd be a little less motherfuckers out there. But beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And it was owned by a Black family, and specifically a Black couple. And back in the 20s, they were stripped of their land. But they weren't just stripped of it. When I did some more research, Justin, they were tormented. They were harassed. They were threatened for their very lives. You know, very much like some shit out of the Jim Crow South.
Yeah.
Almost where they were almost burning crosses on their yard. Think that vibe. And then the government seized their property, took it from them. And just this summer, finally, July 2022, 100 years after they stripped this Black couple of really what now is probably multi-millions of dollars worth of property, beachfront, ocean view property.
You can't even begin to calculate how much that property is worth at this point.
Right.
All this time passed. Come on.
Insane. And finally, the Bruce family, and literally the Bruce family, we saw when they titled the deed back to him, and he's a Bruce, got their property back.
Thank you, God.
Yeah. And I want to say this. That is not a gift. That is not a giving.
It's a giving back.
That is a returning of stolen property.
Yeah, Yeah.
That was illegally seized by a United States government, mm-hmm. a local government. And now you are returning that. That is called restitution, and that is called justice, Dustin mm-hmm. Ross. That is what justice looks like. And at last I checked, we were supposed to be a country around freedom and justice.
Last I checked, too.
Yeah, that's what my documents say.
That's what it said.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, so that's the Bruce family. Another thing we talked about on this episode of Holding Court that lets me know California is also serious. So California is very important in this reparations mm-hmm. conversation, mm-hmm. y'all. We need to really look and pay attention to all aspects of how they're conducting business. They returned that beautiful oceanfront property to the Bruce family mm-hmm. just recently. They also, Dustin, have started to categorize certain black people in California according to their dissension.
Mm-hmm. If I remember you are, remember that. We talked about that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you are a black person of who is descended of an enslaved American, mm-hmm. that is a certain designation in California now versus maybe you are a descendant of an immigrant or you are a direct immigrant. Now, I know some Jamaicans going to be mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Jamaica. But this is what I'm going to tell you. I want to drop a line real quick. Jamaicans deserve reparations, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica is a rich, content-rich, resource-filled island made very wealthy off lots of things, rum and sugar cane specifically. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to hit up Charles and them. Dead ass. You need to hit up King Charles and the entire UK. The United Kingdom owes you reparations. They do. And I'm recommending to you, as your friendly legal counselor
That's
and
right.
friend, to ask, you need to demand that the UK run you your money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, this was actually my favorite part of, I went ahead and watched that Harry and Meghan documentary.
I haven't watched yet, but I'm going to. Yeah.
Oh, Dustin, we're mm-hmm. going to talk about that offline. That was mm-hmm, a lot. Mm-hmm, but my mm-hmm. favorite part of the documentary was actually that history.
Mm-hmm.
It actually talks about, I believe this is in part three.
Okay.
It talks about how the Brits had their own deep south. It happened to be called the Caribbean.
Mm.
It happened to be out of sight, out of mind.
Mm.
But you better know, they extracted billions of dollars of wealth from Caribbean islands of Africana diaspora. That's what time it is. So if you are here in America now and you are here and you are the descendant of Jamaicans or this, that, and the third or other islands in the Caribbean, you need to ask for your money too.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular reparations package is not for you.
That's right. But let's get this global ball rolling.
But let's get this global ball rolling. Yeah.
Hell yeah. So
that's important to know. You should not be left out of it.
No.
But you got to go to your source.
Right.
So for those of us who are the descendants of American enslaved mm-hmm. individuals, this is what that designation looks like. And that's a part of the scope. That's not to be mean or not to be inclusive.
No.
That's the tactical, factual part of the scope of who gets access to these funds.
Especially considering that we're talking about the state of California where they're literally doing that. Considering, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where people come from as far as...
And that's how I know they're serious,
yeah,
D. Like,
yeah.
You know, if this is just a theoretical thing, then you don't do that. It doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to do that work. They're doing work to determine when and if we figure out, not even if, when we figure out how to distribute this package, we've already decided who gets access to it.
Yeah.
That's important.
Very.
That's important. So next year, what are next steps? Next year, this same panel of nine will release a report that they have created, Dustin, to the lawmakers in Sacramento, which is the capital, of course, mm-hmm. of California, outlining the recommendations for state-level reparations.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Me too.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
May this be a model for the other 49.
That's it. Because that's what they're saying. They're saying that the task has decided that Californians eligible will be the descendants of enslaved black Americans or, this is cool, even free black persons living in the U.S. during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because even those free black people, while not enslaved, Dustin, were still subject to
mm-hmm.
you already know the vibes.
Yep.
Great. That's great.
I love this, and it's about time. This is what we want to see our lawmakers do. This is why we're electing people and giving them those seats and those positions of power to do this kind of work.
That's
so this
it.
Is why you call and let them know what you want. Hey, this is what's important to me. This is what I need your office to be working on.
Listen, and then this, Dustin, this state-level work becomes the model for what?
For the federal. Yeah.
And if you think it's a pie-in-the-sky dream, you better ask about gay marriage. For how many years where it just you had to go to New York
yep.
or you had to go to
California,
Hawaii,
yeah.
California, And then finally, this is about a 10, I think about 10 plus years in the making of that. In 2012, the federal government under the Obama administration and that Supreme Court said, it's the law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Reparations actually can be the law of the land.
For sure. And it should be.
And it should be.
We're looking forward to it. Hopefully we get to see it accomplished.
I think we will.
Yeah.
I think we will. I was talking to a cute brother. He's a political strategist at that kickback I was telling you about that I went to. And he is a political strategist and analyst. And he was saying, like, no. Like, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and Eric
mm-hmm.
Adams,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
your boy.
Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
His ass. No, just playing.
Superstar. Eric mm-hmm. Adams, superstar.
Eric Adams, Met Gala attendee.
Uh-huh. He is a superstar, honey. Every time you see him, he next to French Montana.
Listen, he at the Lynx, but gala and shit. Uh-huh. Yeah, anyway, shout out to Eric Adams. Eric Adams is now more or less going to have to
mm-hmm.
start this same shit. I'm going to tell you why. Even if he don't want to. And I'm not saying he don't want to. I don't know. I ain't talked to Eric in a while since I interviewed him. But whether he wants to or not, y'all, he's going to have to now develop a task force. He's going to have to now sign some type of legislation around it. You know why? Because New York and California have an unspoken rivalry
mm-hmm.
for who shows up in the most progressive posture mm-hmm. of American democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be the mayor of New York City and let Gavin Newsom outdo you on a matter of black equality. Especially as a black man.
California is winning that battle right now.
They are winning that battle right now. You're a whole black man sitting mm-hmm. up here as a black man, mayor of mm-hmm. the most populous city of New York City. That I bet you that task force better be getting created as we speak.
As we speak.
As we speak. As we speak. All right. Mm. Now, let's talk about St. Louis.
Okay. Shout out to STL.
Listen, shout out to it. Their mayor, beautiful black woman, Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
So silly. Her name is Tashara Jones. She is actually appointed a commission to model the same thing, Dustin. 9 people, just like in California. They will be studying what reparations look like for her territory.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis has long been one of the nation's most segregated cities. More than half of its 300,000 residents, rather, are black. It's a very, very black city. And most of them live in North St. Louis, where it's an impoverished, mm-hmm. High crime, very unfortunate way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Our people should not be living that way, period. The median household for white people in St. Louis is 55,000.
Mm-hmm.
But for black folks in that same area, 28,000, almost
wow.
half. Almost half. A lot of us remember St. Louis became a national hotbed in terms of its politics and policies when in 2014, mm-hmm. Michael Brown was shot and killed by a police officer there in Ferguson, which is right there by St. Louis.
Yep.
So what has the mayor done? She has Tashara. She has signed an executive order establishing a volunteer commission. They will look at the same thing that they're doing in California. They're going to look at who should get it, how they should get it, what the distribution should look like, who's on this task force, attorneys, academics, public health officials, youth, that's important, and clergy members. Shout out to the Lord.
Sounds well-rounded.
The people closest to the problem are closest to the solution, is what the mayor says. She says, I look forward to reviewing this commission's work and charting a course that restores the vitality of black communities in our city after decades of disinvestment.
Yeah.
Okay?
She's disinvestment.
She's connecting that monetary dot. This is not just good-hearted shit. Mm-hmm. This is a practical fiscal matter. And she ends with this, Dustin. She says, we cannot succeed as a city if one half is allowed to fail. Mayor Tashara Jones.
Come on, Tashara Jones.
And I would
Jones.
Even
come
frame
on, Mayor
it.
Jones.
Come on, Mayor Jones. And let's just talk about her for a second. I've broken bread with this sister, like I said. We have, you know, organizational communities that we share. Tashara Jones is a case study in process.
Okay.
I talk about process in the book. It's chapter 9 of Bled on Black, the good news okay. about being black in America. And I'm very serious about process, Dustin. What I mean by that is process. Let me see. What is the quote I use for process? Hold on. I start each chapter of the book, you'll see, with a quote.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go into the lesson for Black America. Or really the strategy.
This is so smart, Ebony.
Thank you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Without commitment, you'll never start. But more importantly, without commitment, you'll never finish. keep working, keep striving, never give up. Fall down 7 times, get up 8. Mm-hmm. Ease is a greater threat to progress than hardship. So keep moving, keep growing, keep learning, and see you at work. Mm. That is from the great Denzel Washington. He gave that at an NAACP speech a while back. I talk about process in the book, Dustin, because everybody sees, they see the drip. They see the drip. They see your chain. They see, you know, they see the blue check. No, but this is the truth. They see the blue check. They see the vibes. And they say, I want to be like Dustin Ross, or I want to be like maybe Ebony K. Williams. I want to be like Obama. I want to be like Eric Adams. I want to be like this woman, Tashara Jones, the first black woman mayor of St. Louis, Missouri, who is now positioned to help her people get the financial wealth they deserve. Well, Tashara Jones is mayor. She was elected mayor of St. Louis in 2021, as I said, first black woman to do so. Guess what she did in 2017, Dustin?
What'd she do?
She ran and she lost. See what I'm saying? Everything is not going to be overnight. She ran and she lost, and she didn't cry about it. I mean, she might have cried for like a day or something. Right. But fuck all that shit.
But she dusted herself off. That's and it. Tried again. Damn
when
it.
Denzel says, fall down 7 times, get up 8.
8.
Tashara got up the 8th time.
Yep.
I really need y'all to get this. No one is above the process. I got fired 2 times this year, Dustin. Twice. Not once, but twice. And yet it will be on record my most lucrative fiscal year of my career.
Talk. Ebony, come on.
That's not a flex. That's a testimony.
Yeah, to
I'm about
you,
to cry up in this
to thing. Your fortitude.
To me, to our God, to my people, to people who, when I was, fuck it, let's just talk about it. You were on a podcast with Carlos King.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos King asked you a messy ass fucking question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, Dustin, what happens if she's not brought back? And you said what?
If she wants to come back, then she'll go back. If not, she'll be fine.
That's what you said. He said,
she'll
well,
be fine.
He said, well, what if she doesn't go back? Then what? You said nothing.
She'll
you
move
actually,
on to the
your
next
answer
thing.
Was no, you said nothing will happen.
Yeah.
She will continue to work. She will continue to create content. She will continue to write books. She will continue to produce award-winning podcasts. That's what she will do. Oh, and I guess God's going to also give her a daily news show on top of that, unforeseen.
And I see y'all in 2023.
And we already got some more that
see
we already
in 2023.
Doing. That's it.
So, but and,
yeah,
and
process, so, y'all,
process. And what a great example you use. Mm-hmm. Because your resilience in that circumstance, right? People would think that was just the be all and end all. And it was not. That was another thing in addition to the myriad of great things that you had done prior to that experience.
Yeah.
And when you really, again, you know, my favorite thing, Evan, you got to zoom out. When
you
zoom out and you look at really what's going on, then you're able to see how that is just another marker in your great list.
In the journey. It's in the process. Revolt fired me. Shit, ain't no shame in my game.
But they did.
Now, what's his face? Shout out to DeTavio Sampson.
DeTavio, what's up?
DeTavio, Negro, y'all fired my black ass, but that's okay. Because I get it, you know, on some level, you know, it's a youth-driven platform, and, you know, I'm not the most inexpensive talent anymore. Yesterday's price is not today's price.
It's not, and tomorrow's won't be today.
Right.
How about that?
You know, and so that's business.
Further to your point
Further
of
to
the
my
process.
Point of the process. Of the process. So I could have felt a way about that. I chose not to. I chose to maintain a good relationship with Revolt. I chose to maintain a good relationship with Bravo, which is why we killed that fucking carpet at BravoCon. Let them know. Okay?
I mean, it is what it is. You were so well received while we were in that space from executives and talent as well. Like, it's a good thing. Yeah.
It's a good thing. I was about to pull up at Revolt Summit after my termination. But for a scheduling conflict.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm telling y'all this to tell you, appreciate your process, how you deal with rejection, how you deal with even a termination. It's a lot of people right now in this season dealing with layoffs from Meta, from Twitter, from different, y'all listen to this. Like, jurors, I want you to hear this. This is not just about the quote, famous blue check motherfuckers. This is about daily life in black America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you are going to get laid off, let go,
yeah,
sidelined time and time again.
Yep.
Tashar ran for a public office and lost. There's a lot that goes with that, Dustin. Some public, maybe some shame.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of mouths talking.
All that.
She shouldn't have ran anyway. Who does she think she was? Boop de boop de boop de boop. Bitch, she's mayor. That's who she is.
Mayor Jones.
It's Mayor Jones to you. So shout out to
Tashar Jones. Yes.
And to the process.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to.
It's
put
important
that out there.
And people need to hear that. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
It is a very real reminder of how things actually go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the stakes are high like that on those sort of positions. So wonderful. And look at you just being resilient and winning.
Listen, because that's what we're going to do. You don't ever bet against a winning horse.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, something else for y'all to know. Now, back to these reparations in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. President Biden's White House, this is important, is giving support to the study of reparations for Black people, even though the polling is not favorable, according to White America, only 18% support it. This goes back to the previous episode. Y'all need to look at this Biden White House, not because you're a fan of Joe Biden as a person or an individual. Who gives a fuck about him personally like that? What I'm talking about is a Biden White House whose movement is reflecting an appreciation, an understanding of a mutually beneficial relationship around his political fortunes and satisfying demands of Black political base. So to me, like I said, 2024 is nothing but halftime.
Yeah.
It's time to go on and re-up, double down, throw all of our positive reinforcement behind President Biden to say you don't need middle America, Joe Biden. You don't need white, disgruntled, uneducated people to show up for you because Black America has you. And the more Black America has you, the more we are positioned, Dustin Ross, to use the leverage of our political sway to get our demand satisfied. And now reparations is on the demand list in a real way.
I love to see this. These are the politics that I like to see. This is the action I like to see. This is the focus on the more important things that I like to see.
Yeah.
I love this, and I really did not think that I was going to witness it. I hate to be redundant, but I did not think I was going to see this. I didn't.
It's worth repeating.
I didn't, Ebony.
I didn't. And that is, it's remarkable. So let's talk about where it's already been done. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is no longer a pie in the sky theory, y'all. This is no longer just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Reparations for Black America is now a real thing. Look no further than the Chicago suburb of Evanston, mm-hmm. Evanston, Illinois. Evanston's right outside of Chicago. Their city council voted 8-1 to distribute $400,000 to eligible Black households. Now, might not sound like a lot of money, but again, Evanston's a very small little suburb outside of Chicago,
so it's
not a lot of population. It's almost $500,000 still. And each qualifying household gets $25,000 for home repairs or down payments on property. Let me tell you why I specifically love the way they have distributed. I love this package specifically. Let me tell you why, Dustin.
Uh-huh.
Number one, $25,000 is a lot of money. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, I'll take it right now.
Right today.
I wish Suki would knock on the door right okay. now with my check.
Okay, here
Suki.
You go.
Right now today. Okay. And let me tell you why I love that they're divesting it, distributing it in this particular form. It's in the form of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying that you can either use $24,000 for down payment on a property, which for a lot of us, okay, let's talk about real estate and Black people. Right now, there are less Black Americans, Dustin, that own their homes than there were for the 1970, I want to say it's 6 or 8 Fair Housing Act.
Mm-hmm.
Know that. I think it's at 46%. Less than half of Black Americans own the homes we live in.
Damn.
And proportionately, that metric looks worse today than before the Fair Housing Act. Pay attention to that. And then we wonder why we only have 10% of American wealth compared to white people. We only have 10% of the wealth of white Americans. And a large reason is because we don't, generally speaking, own the homes we live in. We are throwing money away with renting. Now, this is not to shame renting. There are some people, well, renting is a viable, better option for you. But at some point,
mm-hmm.
at some point, you really need to consider owning some property. Property ownership is the entry point to generational wealth building. That is not my opinion. That is what every economic expert will tell you. Mm-hmm. It also allows you to do some things. It allows you to create leverage in your life. If you own your home, you could take out potentially a second line of credit to go back to school, to add on to your home to increase its value and its equity, to open a business. Mm-hmm. Banks don't like to give black people money. If you own your home, Dustin, fuck that bank.
So many benefits.
You know what I mean?
So many benefits.
And we got it, like you say, when you zoom out.
Yep.
It's not just about the house itself. It's all the things that the wealth and the equity inside of the home that's accruing, compound interest affords you.
Yep.
We can't talk about black liberation, y'all, and not talk about economics. They're tethered.
Akin.
The first generation of black people, Dustin, that were free in this country, how did they become free? They bought it.
Yeah.
They bought it. While their loved ones were still in shackles, in chattel, if you were blessed enough, talented enough to have a skill set, a shoemaker, a horseshoe maker, a shoe shiner, a domestic, earn a little side change, you can buy your freedom, buy the freedom of your children, buy the freedom of your husband.
That's a great point, Ebony, that people often overlook. The first people that were free, they bought that freedom.
And you know where you can read more about it? Bet on Black. The good news about being black in America today. Available on Amazon. No, but there's a whole chapter in there about that. Leverage. And I call it leverage for that reason. It's not just about the drip. We're not talking about getting some money.
That's not the value
stuff.
Of this circumstance.
Yeah, that's great. We all like nice shit. But ultimately, that is the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Qualifying residents. Back to what they did in Evanston. $25,000 per eligible person for those exclusively black households. That's important because a lot of these reparation packages, we got to pay attention. We got to focus on this one. We watch the language.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start to get broader and broader and broader. And that's not a good thing. This is for black households that are the descendants of enslaved Americans. They get that $25,000 for their home repairs or their house. Great. The program is being funded through donations and a revenue service. And this is taxes. 3% of taxes on the sale of recreational marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
The money's there.
Win-win.
It's a win-win. And the city has voted to distribute Dustin $10 million over 10 years. I'm just so proud.
Good
and this
for
was
them.
Enacted by... Alderman Rue Simmons is her name. She proposed the program. It was adopted in 2019, and she's just phenomenal. And it's just such an important model that I believe Gavin Newsom is using. I believe Eric Adams' ass is about to have to use. We see the good sister, Mayor Tashara Jones, using it. And it's going to be used, further and further and further across the nation.
When we love to see it, roll it all the way out.
Yes,
let's get the reparations wave going.
Let's get it going. Now, what we want to not get going is any more conversation about Ray J and Princess Love. I hope to make this the last time we discuss this particular situation on holding court. But
fuck with Ray J.
Well, you know, let's tell me why.
Because I feel like Ray J is a snake. I feel like he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He plays this likable personality, as much as you can like a person when you know as many things as you know about Ray J and the choices that he's made, right? But he, like I said, he plays to the camera. He plays up this, likable guy next door personality. And
Brandy's
then he goes,
little brother.
Right.
You're still Brandy's little brother. You're a big 40-some-year-old motherfucker. Still
and
Brandy's little brother.
He is right in bed with them Trumps and all of that. The Trumps, Kanye West.
Say it.
These white nationalists.
Say it.
Figures, that talking heads that they've attached themselves to. He is right in bed with all of them. Right down there at Mar-a-Lago. Right in all the dinners, there's photographic evidence of all of
this. He's hiding in plain sight.
Yes.
He's right there, and no one
is holding him accountable. No one in the culture really is holding him accountable. We are over here.
I'm so glad you said it first, because I was going to get to it, but I love that you bought it up. You took first blood on that, because Ray J is playing in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
Floyd Mayweather too.
Mm-hmm.
But Ray J specifically, because I agree with you, I think the culture is more scrutinizing of Floyd around other issues. Mm-hmm. I think with Ray J, he does get this bubble protection. Mm-hmm. And I really do think it's as simple as him being Brandy's little brother.
Me too, because who wants to be mean to Brandy? We don't want to be mean.
We love her
Brandy
so much.
She matters to us.
She is important to the culture.
Yes.
But first, you know, our first Black Cinderella, mm-hmm. she's just so many things. But Ray J is not Brandy, and that's an important distinction. And he is down there in Mar-a-Lago. He is up in Trump's face. I believe we'll actually see him on this campaign trail.
I do, too. And it's going to be, I hope we do, though. I hope we do see him on the campaign
trail. You
know,
I just had a thought. You know, so I was also covering this on The Grill with Ebony K. Williams. You can find that at 6 p.m. Check your local listings.
How about that? How about that?
We're talking about how Isaac Hayes III and the estate are suing Trump, mm-hmm. or they might be having to sue Trump for playing his daddy's song, mm-hmm. Hold On, I'm Coming. Mm-hmm. I got a solution for Trump. Don't even worry about it. Go ahead and start playing One Wish. Go ahead and play One Wish. If I had one wish, it would be back in the White House.
You know what my one wish would be? Never, I'm not going to say that. You know what? Be quiet. But
you need to go ahead and start playing that One Wish, and don't worry about it.
Wow. Well, it's just so, like I said, that for me, you're 100% right. You know? I just, for me, like, Ray J has lost all credibility. Mm-hmm.
If you're paying attention, if you're paying attention to how Ray J is moving, it's actually a problem. But you know what? I believe that it will. When you let things play out, Dustin, it all come to the light. Mm-hmm. He gonna do it to himself.
He's not smart. Mm-mm. Ray J's had some business success. You know, some of his products have sold. You know, good for him.
Even that, I'm looking at. Like, I love business success for Black people. I would need to see the book.
I would too, because I don't believe
that's
it.
What I'm saying.
I would trust. Like, yeah, So
now, his current legal issue that we're discussing, hopefully for the last time on Holding Court today, is a family court matter. Mm-hmm. They've been going back and forth around separation and divorce. It feels like since they got married.
Since they were introduced to us.
Yes, she's a very cute young lady. Can you tell me what she did? Was she a model?
I'm not sure what she did. I only know her in
this context of her being with Ray J.
Exactly. Okay. Same. I'm not minimizing her, but I was curious.
Yeah, I won't be knowing. Yeah. So Ray J and Princess Love have been going back and forth around this marriage. It seems they have finally decided to officially and legally divorce. So as we've talked about on Holding Court before, one of the ideal, best, quickest, cheapest ways to secure a legal divorce is through a mediation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me tell you the benefits. Number one, you and your estranged spouse share a legal representative. Mm-hmm. That's the key benefit. So you're not paying two lawyers, you're paying mm-hmm. one. Ideally. And that one legal individual is hired to remain objective for both people and help you split up all the things. Your home, your equity, your pensions, if that's at play, child custody, support, division of property, etc. Mediation allows there to be one fee around that. It allows you to come up with what we call a consent decree, mm-hmm. a consent where parties are in agreement around mm-hmm. this is what we agree to do. I'm not saying this is easy. It sounds kind of clear cut and simple. Sometimes mediations can take 3 months to a year mm-hmm. just trying to hammer out what that agreement could look like.
Absolutely.
But I would contest, Dustin Ross, that it is well worth it if you can make it happen under that way. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't, which Ray J and Princess Love apparently have not been able to do after many, many months of trying to do a mediation, they failed. They're conceding that they cannot come to terms in a mediation. So now they have to do what? Go to trial.
Take that shit to trial.
Take it to trial. And that's literal litigation.
Damn.
So now that's two lawyers. That is a million settings in court. So it's not just one day. This is pretrial. This is testimony. This, rebuttal, all this shit. And so now we're talking about probably millions of dollars for this divorce.
Do you think they're trying to see who's going to break first?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what I was going to say. Now, the other side of that is I'm not saying just make any deal work in mediation for the sake of making a deal. Mm-mm. There is a scenario where your estranged spouse is being so unwilling to make a reasonable mediation agreement that you have no choice but to go to trial. And then, to your point, typically what happens is a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Right before we go to court.
Let's talk.
Uh-huh.
You know the game. And uh-huh. that's exactly what it's going to play. Because you can't tell me that if they go to trial after all of the shit that we saw on Love and Hip Hop from him,
these depositions,
all the footage, we literally have footage of him, you know, pushing her in a pool, like all kinds of stuff.
It's about she claims prostitution that he was using. It's just that is not a deposition that Ray J ever wants to come to the light of day, and that all becomes public domain the minute you go to litigation. The minute.
Princess, stay strong, baby, and just sit this one out, ride it out. But lawyer up and ride this out.
Lawyer up, ride it out, let it play out. I do want to say this, and this is not about Princess Love in particular, but the one thing, like you said, when I was literally introduced to who this woman was, it was actually on her wedding day. It was the wedding photo, because I'm not really a Love and Hip Hop person. So I didn't know anything about their backstory, but I knew that he was getting married, and I saw this gorgeous woman in this gorgeous dress. I will never forget her dress. I actually remember this dress very specifically. It is from the Lazaro Bridal Collection. You can probably get it at Kleinfeld's right now.
Shout out to Kleinfeld.
Yeah, but it was a very beautiful, timeless dress. And again, this is not about Princess Love specifically, because I don't know anything about this young lady other than she is beautiful.
Yes.
But I just want to say this to all of our jurors. Some of y'all say you want to be married. You maybe think you want to be married. Some of y'all want the pictures. Some of y'all want the dress. Some of y'all want your Kleinfeld's moment. Maybe you want the ring. Maybe you want a beautiful cake. I don't say that from a place of judgment. I say that from a place of experience. On some level, if I'm being very honest with myself, Dustin Ross, I think that is what led me down the aisle the first time I got married. But let me tell y'all something, especially you younger jurors out there. Once you post the pictures on Instagram, and during my day it was Facebook, tell you how old my ass is, and you get your likes and you get your comments and you get your DMs telling you how beautiful you look and how wonderful it is. Shortly after that, it's just going to be you and that motherfucker every day, waking up, doing life, and going to sleep. I say this to say, do you want to be married? Do you seek marriage and all that comes with it, which can be a very beautiful thing, but almost by every account I've ever heard is a deeply challenging thing, and getting out of a marriage, Dustin Ross, is almost always a nightmare. So just think long and hard. Do you want marriage or do you want a wedding?
Yeah.
Because we live in an exceptional time. We live in a time, I still got my wedding dress from second marriage. I mean, my second planned wedding. It's right at the storage. And it's a gorgeous, who made this one? My first one was a gorgeous, I've always had an eye.
Let's talk about it.
Okay. My first gown was a stunning blue label Amsale. Shout out to Amsale. She's a beautiful African designer who passed not too long ago. That dress was gorgeous. I would wear that dress again. It was, I picked a dress that was timeless. My second one, also timeless. This one is Ream Acra.
Oh, yes. Love Ream Acra. Great
raw
choices.
Raw silk.
Yes. Yes.
Let me tell you something. In a minute, don't be surprised when you come to your friend's birthday party.
And you got the damn dress.
And I got that motherfucking dress on.
A celebration
is a
celebration.
Look at Ashley looked up, but Ashley laughing because she's, no, I'm very serious.
A celebration is a celebration.
It's a white dress, and I paid for it. Well, actually, truth be told, you know the tea? He paid for it.
As he should have.
As he should have.
Period.
But thank you.
Yeah.
Parting gift.
Mm-hmm.
But I might have that motherfucker on.
Why not?
And I don't want to hear shit.
Why not? Just get it cut up in the front so it's short in the front.
Yeah,
long
high low, like my Oscar de la Renta gown in BravoCon. Yep,
yes, Ebony. There you go.
To show them shoes off.
There you go.
Matter of fact, shoes I wore to BravoCon, shout out to Aquazura, are the wedding shoes.
Wow. They were beautiful.
And they'll be beautiful again when I wear it with this
they
motherfucker.
They sure will. Yeah, but I mean, that's the whole point of what we're talking about.
Right.
It's more than just a day. It's more than just a ceremony.
Yes.
And oftentimes, you fuck around and find out. You end up in the same situation as Princess Love.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. You know, I'm not saying she didn't, you know, love Ray J with all her heart and want that marriage to work. I'm certain that she did.
They have children together.
Yeah, but this is just more broader. I'm zooming out.
Mm-hmm. We love that.
Yeah.
Zoom out.
Zoom out. What is it that you're really prioritizing? What is it that you're really seeking? Because especially in this Instagram era, Dustin, it is easy to get to a place. Like, here's one thing I've noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed this too. Like, you got your show on Revolt, Bet on Black. I got the grill. You know, we have these milestones in life, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody could buy a house. Somebody could, you know, survive cancer. Mm-hmm. Somebody could do whatever. But nothing on social media ever gets the likes, comments, and feedback that engagements, weddings, and baby announcements
yeah.
make.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nothing.
I could cure cancer, mm-hmm. and they'll be like, "That's nice, bitch."
They
but
scroll
where the
right
ring
on
at?
By. Yeah, but if you got engaged, Ebony Williams Taylor is engaged. Hey, the photos. Oh my
oh
god!
Oh my god!
The buzz, isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Telling too.
Telling. So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, before you walk down that, before you jump the
broom. Before you jump the broom,
make sure you sweep around your own front door.
And getting them corners.
Okay.
Get that angle brush.
Okay.
You better get that angle
and lift it up and get in there. Okay.
Listen, get the cobwebs out.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah, so anyways, they will. They have agreed on joint custody. That's good. She is getting child support and spousal support, as she should.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be back in court in 2023.
See, you know my philosophy.
What's that, baby?
Keep it player, honey. You think I'd be going through this bullshit?
Right.
I'd have laid Princess out so tough. That's here's it. Everything you need.
Since he got
and
so
a little
much
bit
money.
More. Right, since you're so rich.
Yeah.
Since getting so much
rich.
Money. Lay her out and just take care of this shit. That's the mother of your only two children.
That's it.
That we know of. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
facts.
So, yeah. So just
since he got them Trump checks.
You getting them Trump checks. Work it out. Work it out. I know Sonya Norwood. You know she got that stern stare. I know she just been
she
looking
don't
at
play
him.
At all.
You
I know
what
she
I'm
don't
saying?
Like none
yeah.
of this mess. So. At all. Keep it playing, Ray J.
Yep.
You too, Jay-Z, while we at it. Anyway, y'all, join us again next week. Court will be back in session. We're so excited. Brand new episodes, 2023.
Yes.
This is just, something about this year, Dustin.
Yep.
I can feel it.
Me too.
Can you feel it?
I can feel
can
it.
Can you feel it?
I can feel it.
Yeah!
We're going to be on our own victory tour, okay?
Because it's a victory. In his name, we call it. Amen.
Okay.
In the meantime, y'all, stay safe. Keep the faith
please.
On time. And what you want people to do, Dustin?
Read your terms and conditions,
always.
Especially this year. It's a new year.
It's a new year. Mm-hmm. Keep it cute. Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jake Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.